was it like to see Jesus for the first time? For you personally. Have you seen Jesus for the first time? Not physically, obviously. That would be revealing your age. But have you seen? What was it like for you to see Jesus for the first time? I don't want anyone answering that right now. I want you to hold on to that thought. What did you picture? Who did you picture when you saw Jesus? Was it the flannel graph version? Was it a painting on a wall? The very famous one I always remember was one where Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, looking up. You just saw his face. And that was in my grandparents' flat. It was his grandparents' flat. I always thought it looked a little bit scary. In The Jesus I Never Knew by Philip Yancey, which is a book I mentioned this morning, he describes the impressions that various Christian sports celebrities, they believed Jesus was like. So an American football player thought him to be big and burly, no doubt in his mind, a big, burly, rugby player kind of type. A baseball player thought him to be slim and spry, sliding into home base. If that's a thing, I don't know. And of course, if there had been a cricketer, I'm sure he would have confessed Jesus would have been Australian. When we come to Jesus in our church and our tradition, we usually have pictures, songs, prayers, and other stimuli, other cultural references we have developed and thought of when we see and we go, ah, yeah, that's Jesus. We come into a building maybe and go, why is there no picture of Jesus? Or Mary, or why is there no cross? Why is there certain things? Not that, that's what I'm used to. Even looking at the gospel stories throughout Luke, especially, we might look through the pictures and think, oh, okay, I understand that through my own personal culture, through my personal lens and my personal experience. So what I'd like us to do, using this text as our big starting point, but encouraging you to look through the gospel of Luke, I want us to look at Jesus through their eyes, our eyes, and his eyes. So let's take a look through their eyes. What are the cultural and personal experiences behind Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon and Anna? Could we list them and give Bible references? Well, the answer actually would probably be no, because we're not told. We're not told their personal views. We're not told their personal feelings. We're only told what they were told, what they did, and what their response was. We're not told how they saw Jesus, but we do know from their reactions that they saw Jesus with different eyes and different expectations. They certainly did not see Jesus equally with the same understanding or cultural lens. So let's look at the situations. Let's go back to Mary, very briefly. If you want to turn back to, Luke, there we are. In verse 26 of Luke 1, Mary's greeted by an angel. And in verse 28, the angel says to her, says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." And Mary swelled in her heart and felt the joy of the Lord fill her and go, oh, this is amazing. No. In fact, Mary was greatly troubled and wondered what kind of greeting this was. You see, Mary was a young girl, not married. She was told that she was going to bear a child miraculously by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. She wasn't thinking, when is the Messiah coming? Hey, I wonder if it could come through a virgin birth. I wonder if that could be me. At no point is she thinking this. She's just going about her day thinking about her betrothal to Joseph. This interruption for this young girl and suddenly to be bearing a child. We can kind of understand maybe her initial fear, but the angel says, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. And you are to call him Jesus. You see, my love, I was wrong. It was Mary told to call him Jesus. I said it wasn't the other day. He will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign his kingdom forever. How exciting that is. Mary's just been told everything she needs to know about Jesus. And that's important for later. Then you have Joseph. We're not going to go back to Matthew, but he's a young man. He's honourable. Well, probably older than Mary, but still young by our terms. Honourable. He's a tradesman, a carpenter. He's poor. He's given the responsibility again by an angel of looking after Mary. What does he see? He doesn't see necessarily a Messiah. He doesn't actually see a great situation here. He sees his wife needing and protecting. And it is interesting that in Luke's gospel, we read so much about Zechariah not believing and talking too much, then becomes mute because he doesn't believe John is going, because his wife's going to give birth to John. And Joseph, who does obey, in Matthew's gospel, we don't hear him say a word. In fact, Joseph is the quietest character in the whole New Testament. Definitely doesn't take after me. So then you have the shepherds. Let's come to the shepherds. A familiar Christmas scene. They're minding their flocks here in verse 8. Shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. So it's dark, it's cold, it's distant. They're not expecting messianic prophecy. They're not draped in theology or understanding. They're not thinking about the priestly duties that their counterparts, the Levites, are thinking of. They're well out the way on a quiet night, watching their flocks, guarding, protecting the sheep. And then, verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were joyful, excited. There's going to be hymns written about this, guys. No, again, they were terrified. Again, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And they're told that in the town of David, a baby's been born. You'll find him wrapped in cloths, not clothes, in a manger. And then a great company of the heavenly host come forward, singing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. And so then they go and see. That is really critical. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened that the Lord has told us about. See, the great privilege of Mary, Joseph and the shepherds was they got to see the baby Jesus. They probably got to touch him. And still they didn't know everything about him. And in a moment we're going to see that even Mary carrying Jesus, even being told by this angel all these wonderful things, did not necessarily understand who Jesus was. Then we come to Simeon, the passage we read. Simeon and Anna, let's do them together. An old man and an old woman, but saturated in prophecy, saturated in theology. They knew the Word of God. They knew the Old Testament as we see it today. They were waiting for the consolation, the redemption of Israel. They were told, especially Simeon, by the Holy Spirit. This man was a man of God. He was waiting for Jesus. But he had no idea what he looked like. You can just see Mary and Joseph going through, going nervously, going, yeah, morning. And Mary nudging Joseph, going, hey, that guy's getting a bit close, isn't he? Why's he got that look in his eye? Yeah, go this way, Mary. Go this way. He's following us, Joseph. He's following us. And then suddenly, he grabs the child. Look at that. He says, Simeon took him in his arms. And I doubt he asked nicely. Excuse me, I'm really sorry. This will make sense in a moment. Thank you. Wow, Sovereign Lord. No, he exclaims, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised. Now I may die. Wow. He sees Jesus and he's ready to die. That's all he wanted to see. The promise of the Messiah. Do you see how they all see Jesus differently? Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, Simeon and Anna, they're waiting for God's redemption. We can wonder about their cultural and personal circumstances all day. But we can see that they all view Jesus through a different lens and they have a very different response to him. But it's the same Jesus. Jesus doesn't change in this. And the key thing we see through the Gospels as well is that Jesus is the same Messiah as promised in the Old Testament, through to the angelic visitations of Mary and Joseph, to the declarations of the shepherds, to Simeon and Anna, right through to his death and resurrection. But throughout the Gospels, as people see Jesus, they see somebody different. But he's the same Savior. Jesus does not change. He makes it clear who he is. There are no different interpretations possible with Jesus. Jesus makes it clear, this is who I am. Do you see me? But everybody responds differently. Culturally, they'll see different ideas of him, different ways of expressing him, based on the life of the faith of the viewer or the hearer. And we must be cautious reading into these people too much what isn't there in Scripture. The Gospels give us only a little bit of information, but that's all we need. But also, it's good to have a look at the different responses, because it tells us there's no model response to Jesus. There's no course. Jesus says, right, guys, let's do the CE course. It's a great course, and it's important. It's a valuable course to get people to encounter Jesus. But their responses are all going to be different, because as they read Scripture, they've got a different picture of who Jesus is in their head. The burly, the spry, and the Australian. But note Simeon's response, because this is key. Now my eyes have seen your salvation. That is actually one of the most important responses we read here. You may now dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation for the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel. Because though Simeon's not going to see that, he's told everybody what Jesus is going to do. The importance of Jesus. It's about salvation. Now, at that point, Mary and Joseph have heard this. And anybody, I mean me included, would be thinking they must be beaming by now. Wow, our child really is the Son of God. It's been confirmed. I mean, there was no angel that met them when Jesus was born. I mean, at least think an angel would help to say to Mary, breathe, it's okay, it's going to happen, yeah, you're fine. Nothing. Shepherds, really? Shepherds? Not kings? When did the kings come? 2 years later, Mary, hang on. But here, we wait almost 12 years before Jesus is in the temple. And we read that in the next verses. For us, it's one verse. For them, it's 12 years. 41 onwards, Jesus is at the temple. And they lose Jesus. They start walking back home. They've lost Jesus. And then they find him with the teachers in the temple. And in verse 49, here we go, 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I would be in my father's house? At that point, you really want to read Mary and Joseph click, the penny dropped, and they're like, Simeon. I remember Simeon. He said about this, didn't he? Mary, it's okay. I understand it. Silly us, silly you, silly me. No. Verse 50, they did not understand what he was saying to them. Mary had been visited by an angel and told who this boy was going to be. 12 years later, having seen everything, she still did not understand. Friends, I think we need to be encouraged by that. For the times when we feel we can't understand, when we see Jesus and we just don't get it. For the believer, for the seeker, for our friend, we really want to see Jesus. I really wish you could see Jesus, you know, my neighbor, my friend, my family member. But they just don't get it yet. They're not alone, because at this stage, not even Mary, the mother of Jesus, understands why Jesus is doing this. But she will. And so will we. This brings me to our eyes. The famous line in Once in Royal David's City. Does anybody know which line that is? Can you imagine it? It's about eyes. And our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love. For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. take a look at Jesus through each of those pair of eyes, even throughout the Gospels, even the blind eyes, especially the blind eyes, and consider how they see Jesus, how they respond from their culture, from their appropriation of him or rejection of him. Consider your own eyes seeing Jesus for the first time, reading what he says, your reaction, your gut. Consider what lenses you look through Jesus, what makes you understand or makes you think you understand more, what makes you confused. What did you expect Jesus to be like? What did you expect when you read the gospel to feel? Why? The challenge of viewing Christ is not in who we say he is, although he invites us to ask who he is. Ultimately, Jesus wants us to see him for who he says he is and demonstrates who he is. I said before, Jesus is not open to misinterpretation. It's us who misinterpret him because we all look with different eyes, different glasses. We kind of see him like milling around and go, oh yeah, that's Jesus. But he even rebukes his disciples when they lack faith or view him with human eyes and agendas. Jesus' shocking words to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the things of the Lord in mind, but the things of man. How precious to be rebuked by Jesus. This doesn't mean we can't view him in creative ways and have cultural ideas, cultural lenses. But those lenses that we see Jesus through, we must be prepared to change them. Especially if they don't line up with who Jesus says he is in his word. A question you could ask people, especially those who want to give a universal or liberal interpretation to the person of Christ, is to ask how they have come to that interpretation. What has led them to see Jesus the way they do? What is their lens? What is their interpretation? Why do we view Jesus this way? As I said this morning, the picture on the book, Jesus I Never Knew, disturbed me when I was younger. Because I thought, that's kind of creepy with this picture of Jesus looking through a rip. I'm not going to read that. It put me off. How silly. How foolish. Why do I choose to see Jesus that way? That question, why? And what was it that made you see Jesus this way? Helps us understand the person and the lens with which they view Christ. And that helps us in these passages as well. Why does Simeon view Jesus this way? Well, he's taught actually by the Holy Spirit. Why does Mary view him this way? Because she's a girl growing up. She understands a little, but then goes, oh, maybe I haven't. We need to be aware of what our eyes see when we look at Jesus. The Christmas is a good time to reset and look at him freshly, through the eyes of Mary and Joseph, shepherd and Simeon and Anna. And even then, when we see the different types of Jesus in our mind's eye, it's not until glory that we will see the true Jesus. You know, when Simeon says, I have seen your salvation, don't you think he'd want to wait and see Jesus' face grown up and see the salvation of Israel? No, he's prepared to die. Why? Well, it's because he knows the redemption and salvation of Israel is not in the temporary now. It's going to be in the eternal. You may dismiss your servant in peace. Because whatever's going to happen, I trust you. I trust you with my life. Or as the psalmist writes, you have redeemed my life from the pit. Perhaps, just perhaps, he's got that in mind. Even then, in glory, when we see Jesus face to face. Can you imagine that? Imagine seeing the face of Jesus. No one's going to go, who's that? The key we're given is not what he looks like, but in what he says. What he says about himself, what we read in the Word of God. He is the Word of flesh incarnate. And this is a lifelong journey. And I say that. Matt and me and James, we're kind of the younger ones here, I think. So we're looking up to the older ones. But it's a lifelong journey, right? It's a lifelong journey. But it's a privilege one we can walk with each other on. Those who have walked longer, than us. And we need to encourage each other to keep our eyes on Jesus, especially when we get 12 years down the road with the Messiah and say, I don't understand. Finally, let's look through the eyes of Jesus. His lens is expressed through God's word. He is the word of God in flesh appearing. I'm not going to go to John chapter 1 and read that famous passage. We all know it. The word made flesh. But let's keep this brief, looking through his eyes. What does God see through the eyes of Jesus when he looks into your life? I wonder what baby Jesus saw when he looked at this crazy old man lifting him up, going, ah, my eyes have seen your salvation. God is looking through the eyes of Jesus into your life, and he says, my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes see Jesus in you. He sees Jesus in your life, bearing your sin, your pain, redeeming every part of your life day by day. In your weaknesses, Paul writes, he boasts in them. Because in his weakness, God is strong, made sufficient. Hebrews reads that Jesus sympathizes with our weaknesses in every way. And yet is not overcome by the same sin. Let's think about Jesus and what he sees in a different way. You see, Jesus doesn't look at us thinking, I don't understand you. He knows us. He knows what we need. I'm going to share with you a quote from one of the best TV series of all time. And it's about a group of people who get lost a long way from home, and they've got a long journey to go. And they meet a man who offers them help, and this is what he says. And I just feel sometimes, in a simple way, this tells me about Jesus. Whatever you need is what I have to offer. You need a guide, I'm your guide. You need supplies, I know where to get them. I have friends among people you don't even know exist. You need a cook, you haven't lived till you taste my cooking. It'll be my job to anticipate your needs before you know you have them. And I anticipate your first need will be me. When Jesus looks at us, he knows what we need. We need him. When we view Jesus, we have to get to the point of how he sees us. Look through the eyes of Jesus. And see Jesus. See his salvation. Because that's how Jesus sees us. And it's how we need to see others. That longing of compassion for others that Jesus showed. That desire that we want people to see the real Jesus. Not the Jesus we've got in our minds or through the lens. We want to see Jesus how Simeon and Anna saw Jesus. Not even how Mary and Joseph saw Jesus. Although we might be there. We want to get to Simeon's place where we can go, Lord, dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. And how do I know that Jesus sees his salvation in us? When on the cross, he cries, it is finished. It is finished. Do you see your life through the eyes of Jesus? Let's just take a moment to be quiet and reflect back on that very first question. What did you see, or when you saw Jesus for the first time? Have you seen your salvation? Have you seen his salvation? And are you ready to see him? As that carol says, and our eyes at last shall see him through his own redeeming love, for that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above. Lord, help us see Jesus, but help us see ourselves through the eyes of Christ as well. Help us see our neighbor through the eyes of Christ. Help us see salvation. Help us hear the herald of those angels to the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.